Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I'm DM Neil, aka Joke Maniac, and with me today is
Andrew Porcio, some guy.
The wonderful voice from We're So Bad at Adventuring, a wonderful podcast that is part of the Block Party Podcast Network. .com. Now you can figure out how to get there by adding .com. So on today's, I don't know if it ties back to an episode, but I think it does in that it will tie back to episode number 72, the epilogue. For this one, it is number 59, It's Frotastic. Now that might be confusing to some, but what we ended up doing is if you're a Silver Dragon or higher on our Patreon account, you will get the chance to help build one of the DMnastics. And as you can imagine, the user that got to build this one is Frotastic. So the setup was he and I having a conversation about floating islands. But what was interesting was that both of our perception of what the word floating meant was different. So one thought it should be in the water and the other thought it should be in the air. So then, of course, why not just do both?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the setup was that there's a rumor going out and about throughout Deimbe that there's a floating island that travels through the ocean. The rumors are interesting, though, because no one can really figure out if that's floating in the air above the ocean or floating in the ocean on the back of some gigantic beast, but both are true. So there's something that exists in the world, and somehow both pieces are following each other. So then I asked a bunch of questions on how to figure out how would you implement this in the world of Deimbe.
You talk about some of these pictures too. You know, each of these, they have a different flavor to them. For example, the floating cities aren't just simply like floating on some kind of landmass. They're actually floating on the back of a creature. For example, he's got this one picture of this beautiful, large, massive city waterfall coming over the side, but it's on the back of a giant turtle moving through the water.
Yeah, the other one is on a whale. Although for both of these, I wonder, like, either they're going to be very nice and stay in shallow water, or they're going to flood their island backs every now and again.
Yeah, I can just imagine the people in the back of the whale being, oh, dang it, he's going down again. I guess we'll have to restart our civilization for the fourth time.
Yeah, especially the turtle one, because it's actual physical structures. At least the whale, it's like, it just seems to be, you know, flora and fauna, even, well, oh no, all the creatures living on there will have a slight issue as well.
Well, you know, speaking of that, we can segue into the DMnastics exercise given to us by Grimhelm, and he wrote a fantastic post on this gigantic freaking dire shark with the civilization on his back. But the kick here is that rather than worry about the civilization being these, you know, air-based beings, they're actually merfolk or merkin.
Yeah, and then there's a chain through the back of the dire shark that goes up to the floating island above it. So then the floating island above will change like its elevation depending on where the shark is. But the shark, of course, will always be underwater with this giant floating island following behind it.
So when asked about, do you want a floating island on air or water, Grimhelm said both.
Like Andrew already mentioned, Grimhelm went to the extreme and laid out every question that I asked in multiple paragraphs, and it is amazing.
It is one of the most incredible things you can find on the internet to date.
Yeah, in the floating city, there are crowkin, you know, so probably Tengu.
Crow folk.
Era Krokra, or whatever, however you say that craziness. Yeah, so you have this crazy ecosystem just right next to each other. So yeah, definitely go and check that out. And it is a fantastic read with art included.
Yeah.
Specific art for the idea.
Very well put together art.
So then after that, I decided to kind of reset the idea and use a giant turtle that kind of looks like it might have a city on it and come up with the idea there. So if you're up for the task, I think we should answer the questions together. See what we can come up with.
Let's do this, man. I've been practicing all morning. I've been looking up turtle facts and reading about how to feed turtles, so I'm ready to go.
I don't know how that's applicable, but I'm glad you did it.
Well, if a civilization's on the back of a turtle, they need to at least know what kind of lettuce they eat.
True. Arugula.
Yeah, I should have probably read that somewhere.
So yeah, let's tackle some of the tough questions if we were having a turtle have a city on its back.
All right.
So the big question, I think, is do we want to have anyone live there on the back?
My answer would be absolutely, because turtle real estate is insane these days.
It took me a second, but I like it. Yep.
Lack of response really bummed me out. Stand-up comedian, I just go home.
No, I'm just like, wait, what? Because I immediately tried to think it in like game mechanics terms. I'm like, what does that mean? Price per square shell is
yeah, price per square shell. Amazing.
Done. All right, cool. But what kind of civilization and people do we want to live on there? Because we have a couple examples here in front of us, like I said, where it's apparently this one's been around for a really long time because they have like a full city with a castle. Then you've got one with essentially no man-made structures and then kind of anywhere in between.
I like the idea of having a developed civilization on the back of this giant turtle. But, you know, the kinds of people on board, something like that, you know, make me think like they're probably some ancient race that was put there for a reason, like some kind of guardianship of something on that turtle.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think of if we want to go kind of the Grimhelm route, and on the turtle we want an aquatic-based race. I know that would make one Rich Howard happy. Or do we want them to be able to guard against being underwater, I guess, are kind of the two options. Essentially, like, batten down the hatches, we're going under.
What would be interesting to actually have would be, like, divide the city up kind of into two districts, where one is primarily, like, a water folk type of district, and that kind of came on the scene later, you know, and then the other district be primarily air breathers, but they've constructed their city in such a way to be able to survive the going underwater. Nice. But they aren't water breather themselves. And maybe there's tension in that city between these two groups of people too, because the merfolk or the water folk came along later on and said, oh, this looks like a great place to set up shop, versus the people who had built the civilization in order to protect something or to guard some secret.
I like it. So then if we're going to also have an associated island in the air following the turtle, how would we want the two to be connected?
I wouldn't want them to be physically connected.
Okay.
More of one's just following the other, but I love the idea if the top, that sky one, they were like a warden. Maybe even that this place is somewhat of a prison. And so that if anyone tries to escape or to leave this turtle-based civilization, that the people from the air will come down and basically catch them and drag them and put them back on there where they belong.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like it. So it's Australia.
Yeah, essentially, it's Turtle Australia.
Okay, got it.
One question I would actually have is, so you have this floating island, you know, or something on the back of this massive turtle, so the turtle's its own entity. Where is it heading? Why is it moving? Where is it going to go?
Well, I mean, because if you're kind of still playing off that prison idea, having a mobile prison could be the way that you try and protect the people and the prisoners at the same time, depending on what they've done. And you don't want them to get out just as much as you don't want anyone else to get in. So, like, it's just circling, or it could... So I tried to equate it to the real world, which that's not where this would be. So I can just see it kind of going up and down the coast of Dayan Bay. But like if you were thinking about our globe, I could just see it like walking the Pacific Rim, just going round and round and round.
Yeah, just kind of pacing back and forth.
Yeah. That way you can never catch them.
Yes. It's hard catching a giant turtle, man.
I don't know that it's that hard.
It takes some level of effort, I'm just saying.
So to tie it back to the epilogue episodes, how would we describe the final moments of an adventurer on these islands? And like what got them there and what were their final moments?
Well, you could assume that it was some sort of treasure hunt that went wrong, or some search for something ancient that led them to this place. Or maybe it could possibly be that it was a return for the adventurer to actually go back home to their final resting place, which was on the back of this thing, and then live out their final days in silence and peace.
Like it.
I must go back to my giant turtle civilization. Farewell.
Oh, yeah, and, like, it's the only life I've ever known is in the prison system on the back of this turtle, and it's the only life I'll ever know. Boom. Go back. Yeah,
just like that.
I like it. Perfect. Sir, I think we've done it. I think we figured out this turtle island, floating island craziness together.
Yeah, you know, I know for a fact that all of my campaigns, regardless of the genre, will now have a turtle island.
Done. Of course they will. They might not be the focus, but they'll be mentioned.
Yeah, though, I mean, they'll be in the background. You know, that'll be the big twist in most of my Call of Cthulhu games. You realize that you're on the back of an enormous tortoise shell.
Dun, dun, dun. Awesome. With that, where can people go hear more of your awesome stuff, sir?
Well, if you want to check out a hilarious radio podcast about two jerks who don't want anything to do with adventuring yet constantly get dragged through adventures, you want to go to www.badadventurers.com or look up We're So Bad at Adventuring on the iTunes.
Yes, and if you wanted to contact us, you could do so by emailing dmnastics@gmail.com, or you could follow us over on Twitter @dmnastics, all one word, lowercase. And if you head over there, DM Main Prize posts daily DMnastics each weekday, and yours truly will post a Weekend Warriors DMnastic in case you just can't stop lifting. And of course, you can always head over to find more information about DMnastics or We're So Bad at Adventuring at blockpartypodcastnetwork.com. But as always, the number one thing that I implore you to do is head over to the forums and take part in these challenges and exercises, as well as other conversations being had.
To do that, head over to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, do you even lift?
Oh, I could barely lift my right arm because I did so many. I don't know if you heard me counting, I did over 1,000. Just watch out for the guns. They'll get you.